Welcome back to Psalms, everyone. Psalm 64 is a justice psalm, a psalm about the hidden deeds of darkness suddenly exposed to light. It's another psalm of David, and it begins in fear. Wicked men are plotting against him. Now, one quick warning. When we read the Psalms, there can be a very real danger of trying too hard to relate. This is David's story, and while your situation could be similar, be careful to distinguish. This psalm is not God's way of telling you that people are plotting against you. Rather, it's here to comfort you when that does happen. However, when I genuinely think that evildoers are plotting to harm me, but in reality it's just not true, that's called paranoia. As humans, we all experience it at some point. But in reality, the vast majority of us do not have wicked people plotting to harm us personally right now. However, we also know there are many very wicked people on this earth, and they do plot wicked things. And that does serious harm. And we know from 1 Peter that the devil prowls like a roaring lion to see whom he can devour. So this psalm is here to comfort our fears. If my fears are justified, this psalm will get my eyes back on God. He is bigger than my fears. Okay, warning done. Back here in Psalm 64, this is David's story. David is afraid, and with good reason, and he brings that fear to God. Verse 1, "Hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers." Imagine how it feels for David to know that evildoers are plotting against him, that the plans of wicked men and women are directed at him. David feels it, and he feels compelled to hide. He asks God to protect him, to hide him. The wicked conspire. Evildoers plot. All of it looms over David like a predator hunting its prey. In verse 3, "They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows." The imagery of verse 3 is almost shocking in its violence. You might say that it's not actual violence, it's just words. But I would say, don't underestimate the violence that cruel words can deliver. These are no Nerf darts. They are deadly arrows. Words like this can ruin lives. First, their tongues are sharpened like swords. Have you ever held a knife so sharp you feel uneasy just to be near it? A sharpened tongue is dangerous. With piercing words, cruel words, and they hit, as David says, quite suddenly, like deadly arrows. Verse 4, "They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly, without fear." Take note of that phrase, without fear. They hide in ambush and attack the innocent. No reason, no justification, and they're fearless about it. Why? Verse 5, "They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, 'Who will see it?'" These guys are bullies, mean bullies. They get a demented joy from this cruelty. David's enemies like being good at evil. They like talking about it. They're like hunters swapping stories and strategies, reveling in their craft as if it's an art form, thoroughly callous to the fact that their prey is human, created in the very image of God. And notice the words in verse 5. They hide their snares. Everything in this section is about hiding, unseen, undiscovered. The human heart comes up with some devious plans when it's convinced that it's hidden. We all know the temptation that comes when we really believe that no one sees. Beware, and remember the question they ask here. Who will see it? Who indeed? Verse 6, "They plot injustice and say, 'We have devised a perfect plan.'" Now that's devious. They plot injustice. Some injustice is simply a byproduct of ignorance or carelessness. But this is deliberate. They plan it. They take pride in it. They're convinced they'll get away with it. And sometimes their plans are so clever, it looks like they will get away with it. Look at the conclusion to verse 6. Surely the human mind and heart are cunning. In that final observation, it's as though David steps back to reflect on all that evil planning and plotting. Wow, the schemes we come up with. The mind is amazing. The heart is cunning. The Hebrew there means deep, mysterious. There's a darkness to it. It's impressive, really. Well, impressive to other humans, anyway. But I almost wonder if there isn't a hint of mocking in David's voice here. The clever scheming and perfect plans that we get so convinced we'll get away with because no one sees. Then, verse 7, but God will shoot them with his arrows. They will suddenly be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. And just like that, justice walks in. Verse 7 opens with what is perhaps the most important two-word turnaround in the whole of human experience. But God. Plots, conspiracy, threats. But God. Evil plans, hiding snares, plotting injustice, and all the cunning and cruel malice of the human mind and heart. But God. And suddenly, in fact, just as suddenly as they plan to ambush and attack, suddenly they are struck down. And watch carefully what happens when God enters the scene. Verses 7 and 8 are the great reversal. Every element of their wickedness and cruelty is turned back on their own heads. They fired cruel words like arrows. Now God will shoot them with his arrows. They sharpened their tongues. Now their tongues are turned on themselves. Be wary the blade you sharpen. If God turned your tongue against you, how deep would it cut? Jesus says that we will be judged by our own words. This is justice. Galatians 6 warns us, even as believers, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that shall they reap. The picture of justice in Revelation is a great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes in that winepress are the evil deeds we commit, and the wine produced is the cup of God's wrath. But it is made entirely from our own evil works, all fermented and turned back on us. Pure justice. Yet God offers us another option. We see it in Revelation, and we see it here. Look back at verse 8, where we left off. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. Wait a second. All who see them, as in all the people who see justice delivered to the wicked. Back in verse 5, remember their question, who will see it? Guess who sees them now? Everyone, because God exposed them. They hid in darkness until God flipped the light switch. God's justice is a statement to the world, and it comes with an invitation to accept his mercy. And watch carefully how the world responds. In verse 8, they scorn those who persisted in wickedness, and in verse 9, all people will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. Recall that the wicked were without fear. Same word. Now the people have a healthy fear of God. They proclaim God's works. Listen, God's works in creation proclaim his glory 10,000 times every moment. But sometimes we won't listen until he works justice. Then verse 9 tells us, the people ponder. Contrast the plotting of the fearless wicked with the pondering of those who fear God. Perhaps there is a better use for that cunning mind of ours. Ponder. Think it over. Take it to heart. And as we ponder, the righteous rejoice. Verse 10, the righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Notice the bookends to the psalm. David's heart dreaded the enemy and asked God to hide him. Now his heart fears only God, and he finds refuge in his safety. And the final word, all the upright in heart will glory in him. The upright in heart, no longer cunning, no hiding or scheming. The upright stand in God's light. They allow God's light to expose their darkness so that he can remove it. Read Psalm 64, walk in the light, glory in him, and feel him shine upon you.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.